Cash rules everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash rules everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash rules everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash rules everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo.
This is Over Under 98.5 with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz. Here are the Bankroll Boys. Who you got?
Each week you can listen to Over Under 98.5 on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5thesportshub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. All of our podcasts are also available on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Welcome into Over Under 98.5. I'm Joe Murray alongside Big Dan Lifshatz.
That's correct, sir. That's correct.
Brag it. Brag about it. About that week that you had, sir.
Low 4-0 sweep in college football, Joe. Low 4-0 sweep. Two 1-1 college or NFL week. So, and really,
that's a 6-1-1 week, Dan.
Yeah, and it really should have been 7. It really should have been 7-1 because I actually had the Broncos 2.5 on the podcast, but posted the Broncos -3 on the timeline. So, but I'm gonna be fair. 6-1-1.
And let's not forget, somebody on Boston Sports Radio this week went on the air on the number one morning show in the city.
Yep.
And predicted that the Browns would not lose this week, right?
To be fair, I predicted they would win.
Did not lose.
And they should have won. I blame Zane Gonzalez. They should have won. That should have been a good field goal at the end of the game. However, Joe, they covered.
They covered.
So, and we should get right into that.
What? Who covered and who didn't?
How about a little recap, Joe?
Oh, yeah. A recap. Well, I'll give you my bad picks that I had. Northwestern, out.
Northwestern -2.5. Loss for Joe. It was a loss for Joe.
What was the other one that I had?
You had Georgia Tech -3.
Up 10 points in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
Out.
And they actually lost outright after being up 10 points. And I actually think they were up like 13.
Dude, South Florida's quarterback is... The kid has transferred from, like, every school just to get an opportunity to play against Barrett. He played at Alabama years ago.
Yep.
And he – watch out for South Florida. Just watch out. Hawaii won again this week. Like, these teams with good quarterbacks, you might have to back them in big games. And then there's a couple this week that have some good quarterbacks going at it. I lost that one. I had I didn't post one, but I took Nebraska. They lost on, like, the last play of the game.
No.
That one didn't work.
I did not know about that.
I had the Tennessee Titans were in that terrible rainstorm. At one point, I'm like, well, they just watched this game out. That's how bad it was.
Yeah, that was brutal. They couldn't even finish it on red zone. It took so long. It was, I think, the longest game in NFL history.
But I did take the over second half on Monday Night Football in that Jets game, and I hit the Rams as well. So
I believe you also took the Rams second half.
Oh, that's right. I did. I did post it.
You did.
But, again, I didn't give it on the air, so how much credit can I? I will say this. That's how you make money, people. We might give out picks, and we're on the wrong side of it. When the halftime play comes around, I might hedge the other way, man. Or, like, for instance, that Lion. I texted Dan at halftime of the Lions-Jets game, and I had that feeling, what about the Lions second half? And Dan's like, don't touch it.
I said Jets.
If anything, Jets.
Jets or anything. Yep.
And I took the over, and it hit. So that's where I left off on it, but I took the over and hit in like a minute. The recap of last week was not good on my end. It was very good on Dan Lifshatz's end, and we give him a round of applause.
So Oklahoma, UCLA, over 64, cash it. Duke, Northwestern, under 48, cash it. Air Force +8 and the back door of the final seconds of the game. I probably should have lost one, but cash it. And Stanford -5. We cashed that one as well. On to the NFL. Browns +4.5, as we talked about. Easy winner. Pats -6.5. Should have been an easy winner, but was a bit of a sweat. Chargers minus 3 was a loss, a flat-out bad read by me. Andy Reid off the bye, I should have known. Andy Reid off the bye, and I just didn't do a good job. For those who don't understand, Andy Reid off the bye, like in his bye week, has an incredible record.
Besides last year in the playoffs.
Right. But, I mean, in general, Joe, like in general, like not in the playoffs, but just during the regular season. Week one and his week off the bye has an incredible against the spread record. I ignored it. I faded Pat Mahomes. It did not go well for me.
And that's one I think we got to take back. We were hard on Pat Mahomes, and him and Tyreek Hill looked legit.
I'm going to get into this, okay. Joe, because I'm not sold. I'm not sold on this yet. I'm not sold. And then Broncos minus 3 was a push. I put minus 2 on the podcast, minus 2.5 on the podcast. However, minus 3, fair is fair, giving it a push.
It was 2.5 at my book if I wanted to bet it.
True. I did also give out Lions minus 7, which was a loss. Joe and I did go back and text a little bit back and forth. I had the Jets second half and I had the Rams second half. Both of those were good. And those, we're not counting those obviously, but if you have an opinion or you want to know an opinion on the second half of a game, tweet us.
Oh,
text
yeah.
Text us, whatever. Get to us or, you know, tweet over under 985. We'll get to you.
Yeah. And these big games, I did it this week. Hey, what do you guys got? Who you got? And people were sending in who they had. So the in-game betting is fun. We've talked about it. If you go to episode 3, I believe that we did the intro to betting. But in-game bets are really fun, especially when it's quick money, Dan.
Yeah.
Like that over went over in less in the third quarter, and I won my money.
Yeah, I mean, the second half lines are a lot less tight. There's usually when you look at the second half lines, there's usually a good way to tell where the money is going to be going. So you knew in that Lions game they were down 7, they didn't play well. Everyone and their mother was going to be on the Lions second half. I wanted to be, but I knew that wasn't the smart play, so it went Jets. Again, the same thing in the Rams game. The Raiders didn't look good, but they were still like leading or tied right at the end of the game. I actually ended up falling asleep right before the second half started. But I was like, yep, Rams second half, because everyone and their mother is going to be on Oakland, and that's exactly what happened, Joe. So that's, you know,
and it
sometimes
pushed the line,
you just gotta watch it.
It pushed the line 2 points that day.
Yes, they did. They did. And the Rams covered everything. The books got killed on that one, but they did very well in the prior game. See, I thought it would be the reverse. I thought everyone was going to be killed on the, you know, win on the early game, double down in the late game, get killed, which happens, you know, a good amount. But that wasn't the case, and I will take my loss to the Lions. It's a bad read. That team was in a bad mental place. Everything's bad about that team, and their schedule is hard. It is so hard coming up, Joe. Not a good place for that team.
Yeah, we're going to look into some teams, how they'll bounce back from last week's losses and wins as we look into week two. Any team truly surprise you? To me, the Jets was a surprise. Sam Darnold, I know he threw a pick six in his first pass, but they surprised me. The Bears surprised me. Like, Nagy in that offense, and then that 5 minutes of Khalil Mack looked like the greatest football player of all time.
Yeah.
You know, so the Bears are going to be a team I think you might want to back. And maybe we'll see what the line – I'll give you the line this week, but I kind of like them.
Yep.
Because of the unknown, right? And Trubisky actually showed he could throw the football. I mean, I know Green Bay kind of woke up, you know, later on in that game, but – yeah, this week, they are favorites to Seattle off a loss, and I believe that game is on Monday Night Football.
That is. So we'll definitely get into that one, Joe. That's a good one to talk about. I thought there were a few. First off, I want to give my props to Kansas City because Pat Mahomes made me look bad. And that's, you know, you got to admit it when you're wrong, Joe. So Pat Mahomes made me look bad, and yeah, he looked really good. I'm still not convinced on him long term. And again, I know this is going to be like, Dan, you're just being hard-headed, and that's possible. I'm just not convinced on him long-term yet. I want to see what he does this week because I'll tell you this, they're in trouble this week. That's my personal opinion. But we'll get into that a bit later. Tennessee, Joe, very disappointing. I know it's on the road in Miami in the rain, but again, you got to win that one, especially in the division that you're in this week, you know, this year, knowing that Houston has Deshaun Watson back and, you know, they're facing the Patriots week one. There's a good chance to get a leg up. You know, they have, you know, Indianapolis is facing Cincy. They lose. So, you know, it's a good chance to, you know, kind of get up there and be up top of the division with Jacksonville. And
yeah, and they
just shit the bed. And
yeah,
that's
– in Miami somehow – again, we have new rules this year. The kick return, but that was a kick return for a touchdown that opened the game right up for them.
Yep. Yeah. No. I mean, it was a real bad game for them. And then finally,
I actually wouldn't back them for a while either.
I don't love them. I wouldn't back them for a bit.
Unless you're like, you know, it's I need to make a pick in this game. Like, I know he's going to play this Sunday. I know he's gonna, against who is it this week that they have the. Who is it the Dolphins have this week?
I think the Jets. I think it's
That's right.
Yeah, I think it's the Jets.
And so Jets are minus -3 in that one. So
yeah, so that would be an interesting one. And then finally, Joe, the other team, and I guess it's kind of two teams that surprised me because it was one game. Here we go. The Bucs and the Saints. The Bucs were awesome, and I know it's just, you know, Ryan Fitzmagic, and he always starts, you know, always well. And yes, I said Fitzmagic, not Fitzpatrick. They just lit it up. And I know those games always go over in the dome. That was a big missed opportunity for an over there that I overlooked. And I, you know, totally would take responsibility for that. But they looked really good, Joe. I thought they looked really good. And I thought the Saints defense looked terrible. They were slow. They were not prepared to play that game. The Saints offense is exactly what we thought it was going to be, even without,
Ingram.
Even without Ingram. Thank you. You know, Kamara was fantastic all over the field. Same with Michael Thomas, besides that fumble. He was awesome the whole game, too. That team is going to be fantastic, but, you know, they just...
They can't run the football, and that's going to be their problem.
If they can't
slow other teams down and get three and outs, they can't run the football. Like, we know they can score. But on defense, that's their big issue. You can't give up four touchdowns in the air to Ryan Fitzpatrick, especially at home.
No, you can't. I think the running issue will be resolved a little bit when Ingram comes back. You know, when you have Mike Gillisley, you just got cut by the Patriots, who are now a running back needy team. And, you know, he's really running the rock for you. And, again, he fumbled. It's just... You know, I don't expect too much. Yeah. So when Mark Ingram was back, those issues would probably be alleviated.
One thing about New Orleans, too, thin at wide receiver. I mean, they go in with Michael Thomas, but Ted Ginn Jr., like, I know he's been in the league forever and still had 5 for 70 last week.
Austin Carr.
Ben Watson.
Austin Carr, cut from the Patriots.
Yeah, two catches, 20 yards, something like that.
Yep.
So just overall, like, yeah, they put up 40 points, but maybe back the Bucs again. But I'm going to watch New Orleans. And I got some trends, too, for you about teams off a loss at home their first week and coming back. So,
yeah, fair enough. So you want to get into the NFL? We're already kind of talking about week one. Let's hop into it.
Let's get right into it. Dan.
You're listening to The Bankroll Boys. Follow them on Twitter, at Joey Murr, at Dan Lifshatz, and send in your questions at OverUnder985.
All right, welcome back here, OverUnder985. I'm Joe Murray alongside Dan Lifshatz. You want to follow us on Twitter, at OverUnder985.
That's correct.
Send in that stuff.
Another winning week, Joe. Another winning week. 2 weeks or 3 weeks now. 3 weeks in the football season. How many losing weeks have we had? Zero.
Zero. Hey, and listen, we're not here to tout our picks, okay? Like, fade or follow, we'll give out a pick. It's what we think. We're not always right. We're not always wrong. But I love this crap. Like, I love to, like, just handicap. You know, I love halftime lines for the simple fact of, this is what Vegas thinks this team's going to do. I just love the whole action of it all. And, hey, whether you like the pick or not, fade or follow, I don't care. But we've been doing this for a while. We've seen a few things. And, you know, now we get to talk about it on a podcast, which is great. So getting into thoughts on week one overall. You know, one of the things we brought up last week, Dan, was just the unknown, right? Week one, don't bet a lot.
Go small.
You know, go small, things like that. And there were some upsets. A couple of the home teams won. I think the biggest thing was every single new coach or first-time coach, including Gruden, I guess, yep. They all lost.
0-7. 0-7, Joe.
And I didn't take that into effect when betting last week. And that's what happened on Monday Night Football, right? You got the Patricia on one side and Gruden on the other. They both lost.
They both lost. And, you know, it wasn't a huge trend in the past years, maybe because there weren't so many new head coaches. But something to look for next year, week one. I'll go back and listen to this podcast so that, you know, or listen to either this one or the week before, kind of go everything. 0-7. Head coaches, first-time head coaches, 0-7.
Not good. Not good. We talked about the Saints loss. That's something to certainly look into. The Patriots got a 27-20 win over the Texans. That game, a lot of people thought that the Texans would come into it and cover. In the end, I think they did if you had it at 7. I know it was 6.5 at some places. Overall, like, the Pats won, and they may have pushed or covered wherever you're at, but I think that side was pretty even. I think a lot of people saw that one. If you had the Jaguars, like, they squeaked it away at 20-15. The Ravens over the Bills, man. I think we all missed on that.
That was another one I wanted to get into.
I just wanted nothing to do with that game. Remember, and I think we talked about it last week, a playoff team, dude, getting points.
We did, but we also talked about how bad the AFC was going to be. You know, we did talk about how bad the AFC East was going to be, Joe, to be fair. So, I mean, don't be too hard on yourselves in that. However, I think we did miss on Baltimore in that game. I thought that Buffalo would have a chance to cover in that one, and he didn't bother showing up. And now I'm starting to think they might not show up all season. It's because that was a bad performance, Joe. 40-3? It was just awful. They got smacked around. Baltimore, who I think is going to be a sneaky good team this year, and I think we also talked about that last year, I think they're going to be a better team than most people give them credit for. They crushed them, Joe. It wasn't even close. And so Buffalo is now going to be one of those teams where you really have to watch out for every week, and they're going to start being one of those real bad teams in the league. Josh Allen is not ready for the NFL. He's just not.
The Bills are bad, man.
They're bad. They're real bad. And so there's going to be a lot of double-digit spreads.
And we talked about survivor picks. I'm going to give you one in a little bit. Just follow who the Bills are playing this week if you don't want to stick around. Chiefs, we talked about it, you know, impressive, but let's see. And they did it against the Chargers, but let's watch. Redskins Cardinals was the worst game on the card last week, and the Skins took care of business. Alex Smith efficient, 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, I didn't like
Adrian
it.
Adrian Peterson almost 100 yards.
Yeah, I did not like that game at all. I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't want to look at it. It just was not good to me.
And just one of the Cowboys and Panthers, I will not put money on the Cowboys for a bit. They did not play well. Prescott could not find anything. Like, Ezekiel Elliott couldn't get going. And the Panthers now have injuries with Greg Olsen. Both teams. And Atlanta's playing Carolina this week. I don't care what the points are. I like Atlanta, and that brings up the next thing, Dan.
Oh, see, I hate Atlanta this week.
Oh, see? Okay, we'll talk about that game in a minute here. Yeah. But what was one of the things you raved about that was 83% in the NFL last year?
So we talked about, and I said this, it does not matter what the spread is. Pick a winner 83% of the time. Just pick a winner. Well, guess what, Joe? 12-1-1 last week. 12-1-1. All you had to do was pick a winner. Philly wins and covers. Cleveland was the one game I did not pick to have a win and not cover. Cleveland and Pittsburgh tied, so the spread did matter there. So that's 1-1. Minnesota went 1-1. Cincinnati 1-1. Baltimore 1-1. Jacksonville 1-1. Tampa Bay 1-1. New England 1-1 because the spread closed at 6 and was 6.5 most places besides the local books here. Miami 1-1. Kansas City 1-1. Denver 1-1/a push. So it depends on where you got it, but you know, whatever, 1-1 or pushed. So Carolina 1-1. Washington 1-1. Green Bay, which is the one game I told
you called it
on the podcast, I said Green Bay is going to win, but Chicago is going to cover that spread. So that was the one game. And then New York Jets 1-1. Los Angeles Rams 1-1. You're just picking a winner, folks. That's all you're doing. Forget about the spread. It makes it so hard for people. They see these extra points on the board. Most of the time, just pick a winner.
All right, and that's the NFL stuff. Just to give a quick college preview, again, I didn't have a great college day. Nebraska lost at home. Northwestern lost at home. The big game, I think, of the week, for the most part, was that Texas A&M Clemson game. Clemson was -12.
That was a great game.
And I know there was a weak touchdown late in the game there, but for the most part, Texas A&M might be a team you want to back.
Texas A&M also got, they got screwed on that touchdown, yes. Man. That was a touchdown that they took off the board for that.
Yeah, it was like
that,
a touchback.
Yeah, that they
like called a Ben Watson play years ago, but they called it a touchback.
Yeah, a fumble out of the end zone. That clearly was not out of the end zone. It was clearly out of like the 2 or 3, but you can't reverse that once you call it. So that was bad. They got screwed. I thought they were going to win
but
that game.
They're a team I would continue to back, at least over, you know, over time here. They're going to be in the conversation. And Clemson, hey, they won a game. They won a big game.
Yep.
On the road. You know, who else? Michigan State lost.
Michigan State lost Arizona State.
I'm out on betting them, and I'm going to say it now. I think I was wrong about Herm Edwards.
Oh, I think I was, yeah, I think we were both wrong. However, it's early in the season, and I'll tell you this, Joe. That spread was very weird. It was like, I think it was like four or five points.
It
was
yeah.
very weird. And even though Michigan State is on the road, you should not be getting 4 or 5 and thinking maybe gotten another 3 at some point. So that was a weird spread. I'm still cautiously optimistic that our under win total will hit. I, you know, they started hot, but let's see. The Arizona State's going to have a lot of work to do still. Let's see.
If there's one guy I am out on in college football, Khalil Tate. Out!
I told you, Joe, he's not good.
They suck. He sucks. Oh, Sumlin sucks.
They're so bad.
Someone's getting fired.
They're bad, dude. They are bad.
They're a bad football team.
Yeah, but I don't know if someone will get fired this year. You need to give him a year or two to kind of build up with his players. So we'll see. But I didn't have faith in Khalil Tate, and we talked about that, like, I think on the initial college football podcast. I didn't have a ton of faith in him, and there's a reason why. He's so inconsistent. He makes a ton of bad decisions. It's just brutal. He's not great.
Bad. Not a Heisman candidate. UCLA and Chip Kelly covered against Oklahoma. Keep them in mind when it comes to keeping games close. FAU scored 33 points. I don't believe they covered.
They did not. Air Force backdoored.
Right.
Backdoor Air Force.
Lipschatz had that one. Georgia all over South Carolina.
Yep.
They destroyed them. I mentioned Colorado coming back against Nebraska. That's a tough loss. Nebraska was rained out. Scott Frost's first game did not work out. Iowa won a real barn burner. 13-3 over Iowa State. That's always a pretty good matchup there. And I believe that was really it for the games of the week.
Penn State and Pitt.
Penn State destroyed. And how funny was
them.
That line?
That was a great line. I may have parlayed.
May have parlayed
the Penn State money line and the Mississippi State money line, which was such a big public favorite, but I just couldn't see them losing.
Yeah. And Pitt's beat some big teams,
love Penn
you
State.
Know?
I loved Penn State last week, and I just thought, like, this is like the classic, like, upset line that just doesn't come to fruition, and that's exactly what happened.
So while we're on it, Dan, we know about a hurricane that's coming through, like the Carolinas, Virginia, that area, and we already know some games have been delayed, some games have been called.
Yep.
We got a college football game on Thursday night, Boston College, Wake Forest, that will probably be impacted. I believe the time has already changed in that game.
Yep, 5:30, so it's a 5:30 start on Thursday now.
But overall, the weather this week, how do you bet when it comes to the weather?
So it depends on, you know, here's the thing. A lot of the national media reports will kind of tell you one thing, and then something else happens. So you always have to be kind of cautious with those. What will happen is if you see a hurricane and you start seeing, oh, it's going to make landfall in North Carolina, you'll see a total just plummet because the bad weather will be there. So someone will just, they'll just start hammering the totals, the sharps will, and hope that the game gets played and it's just terrible weather. And so that's what will happen. What I like to do is I like to either A, do that and catch it early, but if you can't catch it early, then you just kind of wait until you see, you know, a game like maybe North Carolina's not going to get hit as hard as we think this week, and maybe, you know, or Virginia won't get hit as hard as we think this week, and maybe it'll kind of be more like South Carolina and maybe Jacksonville, because these projections, again, the weathermen are always wrong. We all know that. So these projections are just, you know, always wrong, and sometimes you'll get a really good number, man, and so you wait till like a day before and you're like, this is not gonna hit, and you start doing the other way. That's kind of the way I look at it. The other thing I do, teams that can run the ball well, I like to back those teams during bad weather. So that's the other thing. And then one other thing, Joe, I wanted to mention, so I know that people are going to be worried about season win totals when it comes to weather if you have games canceled. So here's what I was told. I called around to a few places. Here's what I was told. If you have a season win total, okay, let's say it's 8.5, All right. And you, that game, you have a game canceled. If they win eight games, the bet will push and they will not count the extra half because the game gets canceled. If they won seven games and you win 8.5, they'll grade it as a loss.
Yep.
Okay. And obviously, you know, if you have nine wins, it'll be a win. But basically that's how they do that. So if you had a game canceled in Nebraska or one of the ones that's coming up this week, don't freak out too much because you pretty much will probably just push and you'll be okay.
That brings up something not so much football related, but in baseball, if you have a parlay or a play and the game gets delayed, meaning it didn't go 5.5, the game never counted and you get a push.
Correct.
Now, if the game went 5.5 and you lost, it's an official game and you lose your bet.
Also correct.
How does that happen in football now? Like, for instance, the Titans Dolphins game that went $7.
So that is all dependent on the book as well.
It depends on the book.
Some will count a football play at half. Others will count it after three quarters.
Yep.
Some will just cancel it. If the full game is not played, some will just cancel it.
Ask.
And most do. Most do. So when you sign up with a book, ask, read the rules, familiarize yourself with the book's rules because they're important.
Absolutely ask on that one. I'm glad the weather brought that up. It only took week two to bring that up, Dan.
I know. We're week two already. And
we got a boxing play at the end of the show, but I tell everybody this. I gamble on everything. I took the over 8.5 rounds in the Conor McGregor Mayfield fight. He got knocked out in the 9th round, but it was under 2 minutes and 30 seconds. So essentially, it never went into the 9th round. I lost my 8.5 bet because I didn't know the rules. Here I am going nuts, Dan.
Angry Joe.
In the 9th round.
Angry Joe.
Won my bet. Knocked out. I look at my account. It's negative.
Joe, are you out? Are you out on the over 8.5 round bets now?
Out on boxing over 8.5. Yes.
There you go.
Yes. All right. We got some college games this week, and then we'll get into week two here. It's over under 985. Joe Murray, Dan Lifshatz. We're just spitting out knowledge when it comes to sports betting. We love to do it, so definitely shoot us some questions and some even if you got some, hey guys, get a little tip for you this week at over under 985. We talked about the Thursday night football game in college football. It's BC Wake Forest. Wake Forest, I took the over 8 wins this year. They were without their starting quarterback right now. Their backup's done well. They snuck out a win against Tulane in week one. I think they blew somebody out last week. BC has played Holy Cross and UMass, but they've looked good doing it, and they've crushed. So of the two teams, despite the opponent, Dan, BC has looked like the better team.
Yeah, BC is favored by 4.5 this week. I would back BC if I was choosing a side. I don't love the sides in this one. I do think BC is going to win, Joe.
Where's the money coming in right now?
The money. So right now you got 66% of the bets on BC, 74% of the money.
But I feel like a lot of people are backing Wake Forest.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of people around.
People know that like they got a quarterback issue and, you know, BC's got one of the best running backs in the country and Brown's year older.
Here's what I'll tell you, Joe. The money is coming in on the over, and I think that this game is going to go
and the weather,
under.
The weather is another factor.
Under. This game is going to go under. The total has risen from 51.5 at open to 53.5. I am taking the under 27 first half in this game.
Already?
Joe. Under, and again, under 27.
We're giving picks out already.
It's not going to be a big play. I'm not going to, you know, whatever. This is just a podcast pick. I'm not going to be giving this out tomorrow, Joe.
Can we call them peepees?
Peepees?
Podcast picks.
Podcast picks, peepees. Okay,
peepees
yeah.
of the week.
Sure, we can do that. So here's a peepee for you. BC Wake Forest under 27 first half.
Wow.
I may or may not give that out tomorrow. But if you're listening to the podcast, you'll get that pick under 27. That's
PBs.
The way I would lean.
It's 4.5 right now. I think it was 5.5 some other places.
Yep.
The line's moving. 4.5 I don't love, but I lean BC. But hey, you got to check out the website and our Twitter, to find out our picks. Just a couple other games just to throw out there. Florida State at Syracuse.
Yeah. This
ugly
line,
game.
Man.
But it's -3.
This line.
This is the kind of game, Dan, that I bet on.
So
low line, you know, two teams. I know Syracuse can run it. Florida State has to win
Florida
this game.
Florida State has looked so bad, Joe. They got blown out in week one by Virginia Tech. They almost lost to Samford, Joe. They almost lost to Samford. Not Stanford. Samford. They looked so bad, dude. I was rooting for Samford the whole time. They barely won that game. I'm taking Florida State this week if I had to choose. I just think that this is exactly, as you said, one of those low-lying games. So I think that if you're going to back a side in this one, Joe, I think Florida State is the right side. I think you're going to see a ton of Syracuse bettors just because how bad Florida State has looked. That's my opinion.
Yeah. Again, teams that haven't played well, can you back them? And somehow that mighty juicy spread of only 3 points. Some people like those games. Those are the kind of games I like to bet on.
Yes.
The big one this week is LSU-Auburn. And two good quarterbacks here. Burrow coming over from Ohio State. He's been the real deal. He's been everything I think that LSU's needed in a quarterback.
Yeah.
Both teams are 2-0. Auburn's got Stidham. These are two of the better quarterbacks. Stidham is probably a little bit more...
Well-known.
Yeah, exactly. But between the two here, like, Auburn lost last year. To LSU, to Danny Etling, Danny Etling last year.
Have you looked at the spread, though, Joe?
10 points for Auburn. Is that
points.
Too many? At Auburn.
So here's what that says to me. That says that the line wants you to take LSU. To me, that's what it says to me. Too many points usually reads in my mind that a game like this, that in my opinion, it should not be 10. This should be more around like 7. Maybe a little bit lower,
I
six
smell
and a half.
Payback is what I smell.
Yeah, I think Auburn's going to win this game handily. That's what the spread is telling me, at least. Now, I don't think that I would bet this game. However, I haven't taken a deeper look into it, Joe, to be fair. So I haven't looked at a ton into college football this week.
But if you can get 10 points from a top 10 team, you have to look at it.
Yeah, so it's at 9.5 now, which means that there's probably a little bit of sharp money coming in, either that or some pub money. So it's not a big move.
Over's 45 on that one. You might as well take the over.
Yeah,
I haven't even looked at that yet.
I'm not gonna play a total in that one.
The Washington game was a low scoring game.
Yeah,
so.
I probably won't play a total. I probably won't play anything in this game. But if I did, Auburn, because I mean that spread just screams play LSU. That's what it says to me. In my mind, it looks like they want you to play LSU. Those are the traps that they set, and that's why, you know, if you're the betting public, that you just pick, oh, 10 points, that's too many for LSU. This is the type of game where I think that a lot of people lose their money on this, so I would go Auburn, if anything.
All right, so that's pretty much this week in college football.
Hold on, Joe. Can we do one more?
Yeah.
We do one more. I have to do this just because this is such a bad game. Rutgers versus Kansas. They might be the two worst teams in college football.
I have to go Kansas, and I don't even know what the line is.
Oh, God. It's Kansas -2.5. And Rutgers is getting hammered right now with money. Peppered with money. 67% of the bet on Rutgers.
From Rutgers?
70% of the money on Rutgers.
Makes you think the wise guys know what's
going on. So, well, I mean, to me, that sounds like the betting public is on Rutgers.
Rutgers.
Joe,
huh?
I'm going Kansas this week. I'm going Kansas. I'm betting Kansas this week. I'm telling you right now.
I gotta look at it.
I'm going to bet Kansas. I don't know how much. I don't know how if there's going to be a lot. But Kansas at 2.5 to me at home. Rutgers is such a bad team. I mean, literally, they could not do anything versus Ohio State last week. Ohio State last week, by the way, cover. If you had Ohio State with me, I did give that on the podcast. So to me, it's Kansas, Joe.
These teams met in 2015. Rutgers won 27-14. That was a much better.
Was that in Rutgers, or was that in Kansas?
It was at Rutgers.
Okay, yeah, that I'm I like it in Kansas. I like Kansas this week.
And
another
they
low
opened
PP.
Up 4 points.
Another PP
on the podcast.
Another PP.
All right, so that's your college. You got any college games? Feel free to send them in. One I'm looking at. I'm looking at just one. Hawaii, 3-0 at Army, Dan.
It's a weird spread, Joe. Be careful.
4.5 now, 6.5 in Hawaii favor.
Oh, it's at 7.
Seven.
It's at 7. Or it's
just,
at,
just when you look at it, fishy lines.
It was at 7 earlier this week. It got open. The sharps hammered Army. Hammered Army. Got bet up to 7. Then there was some money came back in on Hawaii. I think it's at 6 now. I will tell you this. I have a good personal friend who took it at 7, and I is already looking to buy off.
Wow. I love Hawaii this year.
This year, yes.
I'm biased, but I love Hawaii.
So are you on Hawaii this week, Joe?
Not yet.
Not yet.
I got no peepees yet.
No peepees, okay.
No peepees yet.
So I have no no idea in that game. I will tell you, I don't love Hawaii, though. I think it's Army or nothing.
All right, so we had a tricky week one in the NFL. I thought it was tricky, okay?
Worst slate in a long time, Joe.
But betting week two, though, it can't be based off what happened in week one. That's my take.
Yes.
Do not take what, you know, who played really bad. I'm not going to use Buffalo, but how about the Colts, okay? The Colts played bad. They lost to Cincinnati, who plays on Thursday Night Football, which we'll get to in a minute here. But they hung in there. They stuck around.
How about Houston?
Okay, Houston.
They should not have even been in that game. Riley McCarron, if he catches that punt, the Patriots win by either 14 or they drive down the field and get a field goal. It's a 14 or 17-point game.
And two teams that play each other didn't play well. Houston at Tennessee. So Houston, back-to-back weeks on the road.
Yep.
At Tennessee, who played bad last week.
And there's really no spread on that yet because we don't know the status of Mariota.
It sounds like Mariota's going to play, but yeah, the line's still off on that one.
Yeah.
But like the Ravens, let's just get into Thursday Night Football.
Okay, let's do it.
Because a lot of teams had weird wins, and I wouldn't back them in week two because of them, or losses for that matter.
Okay.
The Ravens are one in particular. Both teams won. Baltimore and Cincinnati won. Cincinnati's the home team. Opened at +3 Cincinnati. Now the money's all of a sudden swung in. Cincinnati's the favorite in this one. Tricky line just off the bat.
Yep.
But looking at it here. All right, I got some stats for you. And I'm looking at this Cincinnati game. The Ravens, I believe they're 2-7 in their last 9 games versus Cincinnati.
That is correct. I was going to give that exact stat out. That is correct.
They're 2-7 in their last 9 versus Cincinnati.
Yep. Including 2 losses on primetime football.
So here is Cincinnati again on primetime football.
And the money is coming in on Baltimore, Joe. They are getting pounded in the public. 72% of the bet is on Baltimore. 77% of the money on Baltimore. Pick 'em.
So that was just, I hate Thursday Night Football. I hate betting Thursday Night Football.
I do too.
But the line is so close. It's like you're going to be like, it's just, it's a game you got to bet.
Yeah. All right, Joe.
The total's 43.
It's up to 45 now. Opened up 43.5. A lot of people like the under in that one. I don't love the total. I think the total's a little scary. There's only one side here. If you have a team that scores 40 points, you almost always fade them the next week. There's only one side to play here. It's Cincinnati. It's Cincinnati or bust. Because here's what's going to happen. You're going to have every single person and their mother on Baltimore after they crush. And Cincinnati crushed Indianapolis and didn't get the publicity.
Yeah. But again, 2-7 against the spread versus Cincinnati.
Yeah, give me Cincinnati. It's Joe,
you're right.
Cincinnati or nothing. Give me Cincinnati. I'm going to be betting on Cincinnati.
More peepees.
No, I'm going to give that one out. That's a play.
Okay.
That's a play.
So Thursday, I think we already got a locked in play for Thursday.
Yep.
Chargers at Buffalo. Got to go from LA to Buffalo. 7 points. 7.5 some places. My survivor pick of the week is the Chargers. Is 7 too much, though, with Josh Allen in his first start?
Well, what? Okay, Joe, I think you should pick a different survivor game.
Oh. Do you know what the score was the last time these two teams played?
I know that the Chargers beat them was like
54-24.
Yeah, 50. Yeah, they crushed them. This is going to be one of those games, Joe, that everyone and their mother is on.
The Chargers are pissed.
Okay, remember we talked about last week?
Am I the public right now?
You are the public. Remember what we talked about last week, how Chicago and Green Bay, there's going to be a team that wins but doesn't cover?
Yep.
That's this week. That is the Buffalo Chargers game. That is they win but don't cover. I would be very careful on picking the Chargers for Survivor because I think everyone is probably going to be on them just like everyone was on New Orleans last week, including me. I lost one of my Survivor pools. I have 2 entries. Lost one because of that. Not great. Joe, be careful.
Okay.
I think there's a good chance that Buffalo covers.
Okay. Dan, back at all the crap teams in football. Back in Cleveland last week, Buffalo this week.
Okay, so you
should I just go every week just say, hey Dan, the worst team in the league is this. They get these points. Are you in? Or
can
out?
Can I give you a reasoning of why I'm backing Buffalo?
No. No, I it's fine. You pick it and stick it.
Okay. No, okay.
I get it. They're the one of the. Don't base them off what they did last week. They're at home. They're a former playoff team. Josh Allen.
The Chargers
should win at 7 points. They should.
2 years ago in week three, the Cardinals came in to Buffalo as a 3-point favorite. It was an incredibly hammered line by the public because the Cardinals were rolling. Buffalo killed them. Last year, Denver came into Buffalo week three, same line, same spot. Denver got killed. It's the same type of concept though, Joe. Like you have a West Coast team coming in again. I don't love the West East thing, but the West Coast team coming in the Buffalo 1 o'clock start, and then it's just that it's coming off a big loss. I don't know, man. I don't love San Diego this week. I'm not telling you to bet Buffalo, Joe. I'm just telling you that I think this is going to be a game where Buffalo covers, but San Diego wins. That's all.
Okay. Moving on.
I know you don't like that. I can hear it in your voice.
We'll watch that game.
Okay. Yeah. That's fair.
Miami at the Jets. You know what's going to happen.
I do.
The public all over the Jets. So opened as a pick 'em. And now the Jets are getting -3 points, giving 3 points to Miami.
It opened as a pick'em?
Open on my end, yeah.
Oh, wow, that's crazy.
44 is the total.
So it opened at 2.5.
Of the two teams, though, the Jets were the better team last week.
Oh, absolutely. It opened at 2.5 on my book. It's up to 3 now. I will say that I think that the spot is Miami or nothing here as well. But this is a divisional game. They're really tricky. And Darnold versus divisional opponent is going to be very interesting.
Right.
I thought that Patricia having good knowledge of the team would help him. Clearly, Matt Patricia is not good at what he does yet. Maybe we'll see. He scares the hell out of me right now. Miami knows that team. Gase obviously knows that team. It would be Miami for nothing or nothing for me. I think this is going to be a really interesting game for me to watch because I think these are going to be obviously the second and third best teams in the AFC East. I'm very interested in this game, Joe. Very interested.
Yeah, I'm interested because of the short line. And Miami won the last year's meeting 31-28.
Do you have a lean? Or is there a side that you're thinking about?
I think the Jets are pretty good.
You think the Jets?
Yeah, I think I see what they're doing. You know, they're going to bring in some sort of, you know, veterans, but for the most part, they want to get their guys in the mix.
Yeah.
And they're going to build around Darnold. They're going to use that running game, Crowell.
Dude, Adams at safety is a game changer for the Jets. He's so good.
So I like what they're doing. Miami, though, Kenny Stills is finally, you know, making some things, and Tannehill's healthy, and they have a good running game. So we'll see what happens. If I lean right now, it's Jets because they're at home.
Interesting. Okay.
Okay. A game I don't care about, but I talked about a team that bounced back. How about Washington giving 6 points now to Indy, opened at 4.5? Again, I feel like that's a lot of points for Indianapolis. Washington played well, but they played Arizona. Indianapolis put a team that hovers around the playoffs that has a good offense. Andrew Luck in a second game, I don't think he was terrible last week. I would not bet this game at all, to be frank with you, but 6 seems like a lot to me for Washington.
Joe, I have literally zero read on this game. Like, I have no read on this game whatsoever. 6 seems like a lot, but Indianapolis was awful, and Washington was great on the road. It makes a little bit of sense. The line at least opened at 5 to me. It's around 5.5 or 6, depending on the book now. This is just avoid it. Remember last week, Washington, Arizona? It is the same type of feel. Just avoid it. Just avoid it completely. So that's what I'm doing. I'm avoiding it completely. So I have no opinion. I think that if you made me choose a side, I'd probably take Indy. But I have no interest in that one.
All right, so I'll give you one. I got some stats for this. Carolina, Atlanta.
Okay, here we go. I'm interested in this one. Yep.
Atlanta off a loss. On a Thursday night, got the extra days. The Cowboys obviously lost to Cam Newton in Carolina. But if you really look at it, the Falcons are 9-1 against the spread in their last 10 home openers. Home openers. And they're 8-2 against the spread in their last 10 versus Carolina in Carolina. Now, I know there's red zone issues. but they're better at home in the red zone than they are on the road, 56% to 44%.
Agreed.
My opinion, based off trends, I like Atlanta in the spot, but it's 5.5 an odd number.
Yeah, in my opinion,
it's, I see six at some places now.
In my opinion, it's going to be Carolina or nothing for me on the side, which I don't like. Again, I think, and obviously Atlanta just lost Deion Jones.
Atlanta won and covered last year, too, 22-10.
And then who else did they lose? And
Olsen's
Neil, right? Didn't they lose Neil?
They lost Jones.
Yeah, they lost Deion Jones.
Foreman could be missing time,
and
too.
Didn't Neil just
Freeman,
got placed? Yeah, and Neil got placed on the IR.
Yeah.
So they lost their two biggest playmakers on defense besides Trufant. I don't love just the way they played in week one. However, I do love a side on this. I do love a play on this. It is not a side. It is the over. These teams light it up all the time. Dome teams light it up. They always do. Everyone is hammering the under right now. It was at 44. It's up 44.5, which means, you know, the sharps are on the over. Give me the over, 44.5 in Carolina, Atlanta, Joe. I like that. I do think that Atlanta is going to win. Carolina is the play, like the smart play, in my opinion. I just don't think that they're going to. Atlanta should win, but for some reason, I don't think they will.
Okay, ready for one more?
Oh,
I'm backing Atlanta based off trends, nothing else. Forget about the injuries. There's a couple of things here, but one, the NFL home against the spread records in September, going back to 2014. The Falcons are 4-1 against the spread, 80% at home in September.
Nice.
They start fast. That's why I thought they'd win last week. After that loss, I will back them again, despite what happened. I felt like I was on the right side last week, Dan. This is where for me, yeah. I need to make my money back.
Yeah.
And again, that's how some people gamble. Might not be smart,
yep.
But it's what you do. I want my money back from last week.
The Sharps chased the Browns all last year. It happens, Joe. I get it. I thought it was the right side last week too, but I just thought that they just didn't execute well down the stretch. It's the over for me, Joe. I think the over is the play in this one for me.
Okay, moving on. We're going through the whole entire week two frame of the NFL schedule. We've given you some pretty bad games. How about this one? Big rivalry game. Minnesota at Green Bay.
So this is an interesting game, Joe, because we don't even know if Aaron Rodgers is playing for Green Bay or not. So this is going to be very interesting. And I think what's going to happen is I think the spread was up early because Green Bay finished and Rodgers played. And then people just assumed he was going to play the next week. People went on Minnesota when they could. And now that his status is uncertain, who knows what's going to happen. So, I mean, this is going to be interesting. The spread, I don't have a spread for this one, Joe. So the spread is not up for me. So I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this.
I got one on my end here.
Okay.
Green Bay minus one. Here's the deal. Remember how I just mentioned best NFL home teams against the spread in the month of September since 2014? The Vikings are 7-1. They're better than the Falcons. And by the way, home teams this week, to give you two of them, the Packers are 5-2-1. So here we go. Of home teams this week against the spread, Falcons and Packers are the two teams to bet based off of how they play against the spread in September and how they start, Dan. So I back the Falcons. The Packers would be the other team to back. It's just I don't know about Rodgers. And I just think Minnesota, I think they're just legit both ways. Cousins didn't really impress last week, though.
No, he didn't. And I honestly thought that the Niners should have won that game. They had a ton of chances. Fumbled at the 1 yard line. Jimmy G threw a pick six because he just dived out of the way. That was just a terrible play by him. I thought that, if anything, Niners kind of showed me more last week than Minnesota did, especially at home. I mean, to me, I can't make a play on this until I know if Rodgers is playing or not. I just don't know, Joe. So it's just, I can't make a play. I mean, obviously, there's no way I'm backing DeShone Kizer.
How about backing Nick Foles on the road at Tampa Bay based off what we saw a week ago?
I'm going to take one from the Joe playbook, and I'm going to be out on backing Nick Foles on the road. Tampa Bay, the line is at 3, Joe. versus Tampa Bay.
Getting 3 points at home.
Yeah, everyone and their mother is going to be on Philly.
Home dog, baby.
Everyone's going to be on Philly. Home dog. I like it. It's a good spot for Tampa. You know, again, everyone's going to be betting against them. It's either Tampa or nothing for me. I like Tampa plus the 3, Joe.
There you go. PP.
What about you?
I don't know if he's giving a PP, but yeah. In that game, though, a lot of love's going to come in. That's a home dog ready for the taking right there.
And there's a lot of money on the over, Joe. 95% of the bet is 44. On the over. 94% of the money's on the over.
Man, that's a live dog right there.
That screams to me it's going to be an under game, which that's good for the dog. The unders are good for the dogs, Joe. That's usually a good sign.
Just looking at other home dogs this week, Jacksonville against the Patriots.
We should absolutely discuss this game.
We're going to get into that. And looking at other home dogs, Tampa Bay is a home dog. And I assume Tennessee will be a home dog once we find out about Mariota.
Probably.
So not many home dogs this week. What does that make you think? That, like, teams are going to go on the road with chalk? That doesn't always happen.
No, it doesn't, and that means that there's going to be a lot of straight-up home winners this week is what it tells me. I think there's going to be a few lucky road winners here and there, but I think you're going to see a lot of home teams win and cover this week.
Are you ready? Saints, Cleveland at the New Orleans.
I want nothing to do with this game. The spread's at 10. I have no idea where I'm going to go. I would probably say Cleveland at 10. That's too many points.
You want to want a stat? Want a trend?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Saints are 14-8 against the spread, off a loss since 2015. So it's 63, it's almost 64%.
Yeah, it's not high enough for me to back it though.
The Saints overs are 12-6 at home since 2016.
I like that.
They cover by almost 8 points per game. You know what the spread is in this one?
10.
No, the over-under.
Oh, yeah, no. It's, 40?
49?
Yeah, so that's, again, that's also low for a team that just scored 40 points their own last week, no? You would think, oh, they just scored 40 last week.
I mean, the trend shows over in that game.
It does. It does. That's another one of those games I don't think I want anything to do with. I just don't have a good read on that one, to be honest with you. It sounds like you like New Orleans and the over.
I like the over, and the trend says New Orleans. But I just think they bounce back well. That's all.
That's fair.
They bounce back well off losses. How about this one? I'm interested in your take on this one.
Okay.
The Kansas City Chiefs off that big win.
Here we go.
At Pittsburgh, a team you're down on.
Okay.
That are giving 4 points.
Okay. Joe, which side do you think I'm going to take here? Because you know I'm down on both these teams.
I think you're going to be on the Steelers.
Okay. This is going to be my play of the week, and this might be my biggest play in a long time. This is going to be a bit of
a PPP.
This is going to be a play that I'm going to give out. I'm going to absolutely destroy the Steelers this week. They are going to kill the Chiefs. It is going to be an easy game. Okay, here's what's going to happen. The last 2 years, Joe, Kansas City has faced the Steelers. Kansas City at home, 2016, in the same spot, similar spot. It was like week 4, I think. Kansas City was like started 3-0. Pittsburgh started, I think, was 1-2. Pittsburgh ruined them. It wasn't even close. I think they beat them like 30. It was awful. It was a bad game. Then last year, Pittsburgh went into Kansas City when Kansas City was rolling, and they beat them again last year. Pittsburgh has their number. They know how to play them. Mike Tomlin is a terrible head coach, but he knows how to coach this. Reed has been focusing all month on the last month on that Chargers game. They are going to not be ready for the Steelers game. They're going to have to go into Pittsburgh. They're going to have the defense, the leaky defense, because that Chargers team should have scored a lot more points. Travis Benjamin dropped 2 touchdowns by himself off his helmet, okay? They should have scored a lot more points. Pittsburgh is going to absolutely destroy the Chiefs this week. Pittsburgh is going to win that game. However, then after that, they have an even tougher schedule for Pittsburgh. So they're not going to bounce back so well after this game. But this game, this week, Pittsburgh is going to destroy that. They are going to easily cover the 4. I'm predicting it's going to be like a 15-point win at least.
For all those who doubt what Lifshatz is spewing right now, the Chiefs are 6-2 against the spread as an underdog since 2016. Of course, they're plus 4. It opened at plus 5 in Pittsburgh. Also, one other, the Steelers overs at home, 19-9-1 since 2014 when they are favored.
Here's the thing, Joe. 84% of the bet is on Kansas City.
I like the over.
70% of the money is on Kansas City.
The over, baby.
No one likes backing a public dog.
Can I give you a PPP?
Hell yeah.
I like the over in the Chiefs-Steelers game.
52.5, baby.
Over. That's a big spread. That might be the biggest spread of the week, right?
I think that's the biggest number.
Oh, that's another thing when it comes to betting. I always look for the largest total and the smallest total and go one way. Go one way or the other.
In the NFL. So I agree with that, except on
even
prime
in college
time.
Football, it works.
Oh,
how many times was Baylor down? Like in the 80s, dude?
I know. But then eventually it gets to the point where people start going under.
That's
you know?
True.
So here's the thing,
yeah,
Joe.
50 opened at 49, now at 52.
Just avoid the primetime games when it comes to this. So if there's a huge total or a super low total on a primetime game, go the opposite. A perfect example last year was the San Francisco LA Rams game. Like it was like week 2 or week 3 and the total was like 39 and it was like a 48-40 game. It was just ridiculous. Primetime games, avoid the low total, go opposite. That's all you need to do. But I agree there, Joe. I mean, it's a public over, but I'm riding with you. I like the over. I think Pittsburgh is going to kill them.
Wow.
I think Pittsburgh is going to score over 40 this week.
Okay. A couple more games here. These are most of the 1 o'clock games. Getting into the 4 o'clock games, okay. Obviously, the Patriots in Jacksonville will be the big one. Well, let's knock a few of these other ones out. Arizona at the Rams. Arizona looked bad. Rams opened at 10.5. It's now 13. Is that too many points for the Rams, or is that too much love?
This is one of those games where I would tell you that if you really wanted to bet a side, have fun, because I won't be joining you. I don't know. I really don't know. I think Arizona is. Again, this is one of those big spreads. If I was going to pick a side, it would be the Rams, but they're just such a big favorite that, man, I just don't know how that Arizona team is going to respond. It's a divisional game.
The Rams dropped 30 on them last year in December.
It's a divisional game. Those games are always so weird, man. Like, the divisional games are totally different than any other NFL game because you play them so much. You game plan for them so much. You know those teams' playbooks inside and out. It's a totally different type of game. Honestly, I mean, like... Yeah, I would probably play the over if I had to. The over 45. If I had to choose a side, I'd probably go LA. But, man, I just don't want to touch this game.
Me either. But, hey, they won by 16 last year. It's 13 this year. I don't like it. How about the Raiders off a loss against Denver, who got a win? Denver minus 6. Divisional game here.
Yeah, another one of these 4 o'clock games. I just think the 4 o'clock games are ugly this week. I might not play a single one.
Oakland won last year, by the way, on a that Derek Carr threw up a
the bomb.
Yeah, and they won 21-14 in that game.
Yeah, it was Cooper who caught it, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I remember that. This is another one.
So they play each other tough.
Yeah, this is just another one of those games where I just don't want anything to do with it. I don't like the over. I don't like the under. I don't like the total. I don't like the side. I don't like anything. This is such a tough one because Denver did not look bad last week. And Case Keenum threw like 3 interceptions. I will tell you, though, that I think they might win this week and then fade them week 3. Hmm. So that might be the play for me. It's just take them, fade them, you know, play them this week and fade them week 3. So there's a good chance that I'm going that way. If I had to, I'm taking Denver minus 6, but I don't like it.
Okay. Previewing the New England Patriots at Jacksonville Jaguars. It's a rematch of the AFC Championship from a year ago. This game opened as Jacksonville plus 1. It's been sitting at plus 1 all week long. I haven't looked at my local yet, but I bet you the Patriots are favorite. Yeah. Minus 1.
Yep.
So I'm sure the locals would do that. I see 59% of the money right now is on the Patriots.
I have 73.
Okay.
And 71% of the bet on New England. This is simple for me. It's Jacksonville or nothing. Hey, I know Patriots fans are going to hate to hear that, but if you want to bet this game, and I'm not telling you to because I don't think you should, Jacksonville or nothing. That is way too short of a spread for a team that is very good to be on the road. I know Jacksonville is a very good team. Blake Bortles is a very bad quarterback. It's either Jacksonville plus 1 or just take the money line or nothing to me.
Do you think the Jacksonville defense will give fits to the Patriots offense, considering the personnel they have?
Yes, I think, and not only that, Joe, but you just look at the running backs. James White is their only healthy running back. Rex Burkhead in concussion protocol. Sonny Michel cannot get on the field right now. And obviously, we know about Jeremy Hill went down last week. It's just there's only one running back. White is not a good in between the tackles runner. This is clear to me. I mean, I think it's Jacksonville or nothing. And I think you have to play the under. Like, I don't like playing the under because this is going to be a big public under. But 45 points, if the hurricane hits a little bit south, the weather is going to be awful. This is an under play to me, if anything, under.
I like the Patriots in this game. I feel like there's some sort of motivational thing for Jacksonville. They've done a lot of talking. The Patriots might struggle to move the football. It might happen this week. But Leonard Fournette is dealing with a hamstring injury. It sounds like he's going to play. I see a little bit of a different Patriots defense this year. Not sitting back and waiting, trying to get in the backfield a little bit more. D.D. Westbrook, he could break out in a game like this. I don't see the weapons. I just don't see the weapons for
A.J. Chark. I'm telling you, that rookie A.J. Chark is someone to watch for this week. I think he could have a good week this week. D.J. Chark.
I mentioned here when we're on in Boston is, the Patriots had Eric Lee and James Harrison at the end of the year. Like, that was the guys on the defensive end. And what Trey Flowers did and Dietrich Wise and, Claiborne, I just think that front seven for the Pats is much stronger this year. I think they load the box, they make Bortles throw, and I don't think they have enough playmakers to win. Now, they are at home. The fans are going to be fired up. The line is dead on. I just think in a motivational factor with the whole smack talk of Jalen Ramsey and Gronk and stuff like that, these are the games you load up on the Patriots. Like the Pats. And a PP.
Yeah, I'm
a PP.
PP. PP. Yeah, I'm not playing a side. If anything, I'm playing an under. I like the under 45. You also forgot Lawrence Guy, who was awesome last week.
Right.
He was awesome last week for the Pats. I can't justify playing the Patriots on the spread. To me, I mean, it's such a short spread. It just seems like such an easy play for the Patriots, but man, I can't do it. I think ultimately, in my mind, it's either I play Jacksonville or play nothing. I think ultimately,
home dog, man, getting love.
Ultimately, the Patriots win, but I think that the betting side to me is Jacksonville or nothing. So I'm going to play nothing. I do like the under, Joe. I do like the under. So that would be if I'm playing anything in that game, the under 45 is the play. That's my opinion.
Okay, maybe we'll save this portion. And hey, do you want to get our? Our take on the Jacksonville-New England game, here it is on the podcast.
Yeah.
A couple more games here. We'll wrap it up, and we'll go to the window in a minute here. Giants at Cowboys. I got trends.
Give me those trends, Joe. Give me those
Cowboys,
trends.
Cowboys, 12-21-1 against the spread at home since 2014. Not good. Dallas is -3. How are they favored?
Public dog.
Oh.
Public dog in the Giants this week. I don't know why teams are backing them. Maybe because Jacksonville had a tough time with them last week. To me, this is an easy one. I'm taking Dallas. Are you kidding me? I'm taking Dallas off a rebound week. They played a tough Carolina team. They the first run of the game, Joe, I went back and looked like they were doing some stuff on ESPN. Elliott should have had a home run touchdown right there. He just missed the hole. He just missed the hole. Like they cleared him out. He should have just, he should have had a touch on the first play of the game last week. So I'm going rebound. I'm going Dallas. I like this. I think the game is going to go over. But I like Dallas. I think Dallas is the right side this week. I think everyone and their mother is going to be on the public dog. And those public dogs smell so bad, Joe.
That's just a crazy against the spread number, though.
It is.
Like, at home, Dallas should be money.
It is. I mean,
12-21 against the spread?
It's true.
36%?
Yeah. But think about how bad they've been the last couple of years. I mean, really,
yeah,
they
but, I mean, at least don't they win on Thanksgiving? Like,
they do. Yeah, they...
they're good for one win a year, right?
But you win at home. On Thanksgiving, you had like that one or two good years, but other than that, you've been crap. So when you're a crap team, you lose games at home.
The Giants and Cowboys, they're on a 4-0 under run. Four in the last four games.
Doesn't bode
according
well
to Odd Sharks.
Does not bode well for my over there. I'm still
over 42.5.
What are your thoughts, Joe? Dallas or the Giants?
I mean,
here?
Giants have more talent.
Yes, yeah,
they just have more talent. The thing for me is like the Cowboys really showed no offense last week. Listen, that could change coming home. Dak Prescott,
Allen
Hurns like didn't do much for them.
Don't
like,
look too much in the week one.
I know. Don't do it, Joe.
You're getting caught in the trap. You're getting caught in the trap, Joe. The week one trap.
By the way, Barkley and Odell Beckham had great games. Eli even played well.
I thought Barkley was terrible except for his one run. Huh. He was awful. I think he had like 20 yards and like 12 carries.
Beckham was good. Sharp was good. They didn't get to the tight end enough, and that's an Eli problem.
Beckham was awesome, dude. Beckham torched Ramsey, and he didn't get enough publicity for that. He killed him all game.
I missed the game. That was the Sunday nighter. I forgot to bring up the Lions, you and Matt Patricia. At San Francisco?
Me and Matt Patricia, yes.
Can they figure it out on defense against Jimmy Garoppolo? He knows him, right?
This is going to be the one game where I'm going to be so public, but I'm going to take the Niners. Like, I may not take them, but if I was going to take them, I would take the Niners, man. How can you back that Lions team? How can you do it? That team was gross. That team was awful. That team had no heart. Jimmy G knows the Patricia defense. Patricia doesn't have a team that can match up with them. And I thought the Niners looked pretty good last week. They're going to be a really big public favorite this week, Joe, but I think they're going to be a public favorite that wins. Give me the Niners -6. This is gross.
Ugh. I think I like the Niners, too.
Ugh. You and me.
75% of the public's only on it. And then the Monday night game, we mentioned it earlier, but Bears hosting Seattle.
Yeah. This is an interesting game.
3.5 right now for Chicago. I liked what I saw from Chicago. It's going to be their opening game. Seattle didn't look terrible. They hung in there on the road. They're back-to-back games on the road. You know, Wilson looked good. They didn't look bad, Seattle. I know they lost. They didn't look bad. I know people are down on them this year. Chicago just... They like blew the game against Aaron Rodgers.
So I think that Chicago is going to be a favorite. So we'll see. I think a lot of people are going to be on the over this week.
This is one of those Sunday night. I don't want to. Like, you're in a bailout situation on a Sunday night.
I think this is a Monday game.
Oh, sorry, Monday night. Monday. Sorry, yeah. This is like, do I want to start the week betting these two? Ugh.
Yeah,
But I'm interested. Like, I feel like Chicago's got a little bit more offense.
This is like the type of game where you watch the first half, you see that second half line, and you're like, all right, let me take a look at that second half line. You know, I do like Chicago off the initial look. Up to 3.5 already, I'd probably buy it down to 3 if I had to. I think they're going to get a public favorite again on primetime, and those usually struggle. I think there's going to be a lot of a good amount of even money there eventually, but I think it's going to be starting as, you know, a lot of sharps on Chicago getting out to 3.5. There's the value. Yeah, I think that Chicago is the better team. I think that we saw that last week, and they really took their foot off the gas pedal, and those young teams will do that. And, you know, Nagy made some terrible play calls down the stretch. I mean, that fourth down play, fourth and one, what are you doing? Run the ball. Run the damn ball. Run the rock right up the middle, get a first down, score a touchdown. That's the game. Boom, bam, bang.
Sounds
boom,
like a man who had a bet.
But no, you think. No, I didn't. I had Chicago, actually. I did have a slight little play on the money line, but that was just for funsies. But, I mean, yeah, I think that Chicago's going to win, but this is going to be a fun game, Joe. I think this is going to be really interesting, honestly.
Okay. We'll see where both teams are at.
You'll learn a lot about both teams this week, and I think that this is going to be a good kind of viewing of this. I think that this is going to be a fun game to watch. I'm going to watch, Joe.
All right, week two. There you go. Full breakdown. Over under 985. That's where you can check it out. Find us on Apple, subscribe, iTunes. Right? Go to the Over Under 985 podcast. We got to beef these numbers up.
Email us at overunder985@gmail.com.
Wow,
We have an email.
I just never read it.
Overunder985@gmail.com. If you have any questions, email us there. If you don't have Twitter and you don't want to put it out there in the free world, feel free to email us overunder985@gmail.com. Joe, before we go onto the window, I'm just wrapping this up. I'm going to be giving picks for this week.
Peepees.
Peepees. Cincinnati. Pick 'em minus one, whatever you got. Cincinnati, pick 'em. Okay? We're going to be taking that. Pittsburgh, minus four. Take it, hammer it, leave it in the bank. Don't even think about it. That's going to be an easy one. And, of course, I'm trying to find the other one here. Oh, Tampa Bay, plus 3.5. I like them as well. I think those are going to be the three games this week that I'm going to bet. I might bet one more, but I haven't decided yet. Those are the three games right now. Cincinnati, pick 'em. Tampa Bay plus 3.5, Pittsburgh minus 4, and I can't remember if I had an over or an under or not, but I don't have it written down, so sorry if I do.
So you pick 3, I'm going 2, and I already gave them to you. Over Kansas City, Pittsburgh, I believe it's, what, 52.5?
52.5.
And the Patriots minus 1.
Okay.
And if, what the hell. Give me the Falcons. I want my money back.
Give him the
minus 5.5.
All right, Falcons minus 5.5.
That's my 3.
I found my over, Joe. I found my over. Carolina, Atlanta over 44.5.
There you go. Dan, you know what we do at this time?
I believe we take it to the window.
Take it to the window.
You send in your questions, we cash them out at the window. So who you got? Over under 98.5.
All right, Joe. So we're going to start this week with a question from Kevin Baker.
Okay. Hey, Kevin.
He goes, Kevin, or I guess he goes, guys, what is the first thing you look for when you begin to handicap a game? And so I asked him, I said, well, every sport's different. So why don't we start with main sport? Why don't you do like football or basketball, whatever sport you want to talk about, Joe? First thing you look for?
I just look at right away just what the number is. You know, what I try to do is handicap it myself and then see what the number is. So, for example, Patriots, Jaguars, I thought Jags would be plus 2. It's plus 1, which I don't know. It's right on. I thought it was plus. So that's what I look for. For instance, the football game, the LSU Auburn game, I thought that'd be minus 4 Auburn all day. It's 10, Dan. So those numbers can be deceiving. So, you know, that's the one thing I look for right away is how do I handicap the game?
Yep.
What's Vegas at? If we're both dead on, then, like, you know, they really are trying to get money on both sides.
Yeah.
And obviously that's why they make the lines. But that's what I look for is how did I handicap it and what is the line?
I agree. The first thing I look for is the line and the over-under. So, you know, when I'm betting soccer and I see an over-under that's just wildly out of proportion for a soccer game, that should not be that way. For instance, like, you have two low-scoring teams that average less than 2.5 goals a game, and you have an over, like, 3 or 3.5, you know you're going to bet the over because it's going to be flying over, or you bet it live and you bet the 3. Something like that. So that's kind of the way that I would look at it. Football, again, it's always the spread. It's always the spread. The first thing you look at is the spread, then the weather, then other things, you know, who's out, who's in, et cetera, et cetera. But, yeah, I mean, it's always the spread. It's the first thing you look for, and then you kind of dig into your own thing. So that's kind of the way I do it. Joe, question 2 comes from Rich Pano this week. Survivor pool question. Do you look ahead at schedules, or you just go week to week and picking the games you feel most confident in?
Absolutely look ahead. For instance, let's stay to New England. And that's another thing, too. You like to bet the teams that you like, you know. New England next week has Detroit, right? I mean, if you're looking ahead a little bit here, hey, you lose to Jacksonville, okay. You go in, you know what I mean? You go into Detroit and you blow their doors off. You know what I mean? Like,
correct.
And also, there's always, like, in college football, this is huge. So, for example, you know, Alabama has to play Auburn if they want to go to the SEC championship game, right?
Yep.
So they might look ahead to the SEC championship game and lose to Auburn like they did last year. There's always that who's your rival and who the team they're playing before. So, yes, you do look ahead a little bit here, and that's why I think just in general that's a good spot to fade a team.
I agree. So that's – the look ahead is always an interesting one. That's why I kind of thought, like, the Saints, oh, you know, look ahead versus the Browns at home. They'll be fine. They'll win. You know, they'll win against Tampa. They'll probably cover the number. Wrong. I got killed last week. I think that this week there's only one way to go for Survivor, and that's Pittsburgh. I think that's the only – way to go for Survivor this week. But, of course, I always look ahead, too. You have to look ahead.
I got one for you. Our buddy Brick on Twitter,
Yep.
Sent one in today regarding teasers.
The real brick, not the @DanLifshatz, who Dave Brown thinks is a you know, a whatever account. Sorry. I will cut that. The account, the ghost account or whatever account he claims that, whatever. The real brick, who is not me. So. Okay.
So teaser situation. Two Monday night football games this week. How did that Rams minus one, how did that Rams plus money and Lions minus one tease look to you?
It looked great, which is why I knew it wasn't going to hit. I thought the Rams would end up being the one that lost on that one. Clearly, I was wrong, and I'll take the
If you went the other way on it, I still think you would have lost,
you
too, right?
You would have. Yep, yeah, you would have lost it no matter what. So, yeah, I just – I'm not – how do you feel about – because I'm not a big teaser guy. I think if there's a team that I like that I think that will win but not cover – or something like that, then maybe I'll think about taking them. Or if there's a team like Penn State last week I really liked on the money line, I was like, oh, Penn State was going to win this game. You know, they're like a 7-point spread. It's like that 6-7-point spread area, I'll tease down to like a one or like a pick 'em. And if there's another team that I feel very confident about, then I'll get an extra 6 points. Like this week, I hate teasing below zero. Like, you're never supposed to tease under zero. So, just my teaser rules, like, there's no reason to tease across zero. If you think a team's going to win, then you only need him at zero. If you think that, you know, if you have a big dog and you have him at four and you want to get the 10, that's fine. But you never could tease across zero because there's no reason. But, like, I might, if I have a bunch of teaser sides that I like this week, I might just close them with Pittsburgh because I'm that confident that Pittsburgh's going to win.
I tease in certain situations. Like right now, there's so many games. There's NFL, there's college, there's baseball. I like the three-team tease because you don't have to pay the juice, and you also get more money out of it. So, but again, having three teams hit, not easy. Not easy at all. But, for instance, in an NBA playoff, right?
Joe, tease Pittsburgh this week.
Yeah, I could, but what I'm saying is the NBA in particular, I like to tease those points.
Oh, I'm so bad. I'm so bad with NBA teasers. I'm out on NBA teasers.
Yeah,
Joe.
And it's just, you know, you got to pick what you like. The Celtics tonight, you like the over, and you think Cleveland. Okay, yeah, like it's just for me, that's how it works. But it can be scary. A lot, you know, teams plus 17.5 looks good, but when they lose by 18, you got suckered.
I will vouch for Joe's college basketball and NBA picks. Just dynamite. I'm so bad at NBA teasers, Joe.
Keep it simple. It's like, who are the best teams? Are they on the road? Are they on a back-to-back? It's just, you know, like the Celtics on the road are a good team to back them when they get in points because they're a young team. It's just there's certain little trends. I know people don't love them, but sometimes they're right.
Yep. That's fair. All right, Joe, on to the next question. Here we go, and it's actually about trends. Just look at that. From Richie's Picks, how often do you follow trends when betting? For example, Tampa Bay Rays F5 versus Blue Jays this year is 9-2-1 on the season.
Wow.
After Blake Snell again won again today in the F5. Do you use or do you bet the F5? And then they also asked about the Patriots, which we already discussed.
So, you know, like in the playoffs this year, I might early on, right? I mean, I might. You like those first halves and stuff like that. Like,
yes, I'm a very half first half type guy.
I love to bet like no runs in the first inning, but then it loses and I get really upset. So, but yeah, for baseball, I think is where it's at. I'm an under guy. I like unders first five for the most part.
So I will say this, and I'm not going to say who the person is or who the players are, but I know for a fact that there is a good friend of mine. Okay. And what he does is he finds pitchers who are just dominating the F5 this year. So, for instance, DeGrom this year had like an F5 under record of like 21-2, and he just rides that trend. He will just ride those trends. So, actually, I'll give it out. Kyle Freeland this year with Colorado at home, and his F5 is like 16-0, is something ridiculous on the F5 under. So, you know what he does? He just bets the F5 under. He is so good at just finding those spots and just continuously hitting them every single time. He's dynamite at it, and he's such a good bettor because of it. And so when you find those trends like that, those important little trends, but like if you're asking me, do I care about, you know, what the Patriots record is versus spread at home since 2014? No, because 2014 Patriots and the 2018 Patriots are 4 years apart. You know, almost none of the players are the same with the exception of Tom Brady. So, no, I don't care about those things. I just, this is not something I care about unless it's divisional game. Divisional games sometimes. But yeah, most of the time, I'm not a big trend guy. And Joe, you know that. And Joe is a big trend guy. And there's different ways to bet. And Joe is very successful. I can vouch for that. I do quite well. So there's just different ways to bet. So if you like trends, ride them if that's what you feel you need to do.
Okay.
So, all right, Joe, we have one more. I'm going to pull it up. I'm going to pull it up here. Sorry.
And again, check us out over under 985 on Twitter. Send in your questions to us week in and week out. More stuff. We're doing this podcast Wednesday, so it'll probably drop on Thursday. So you'll be able to get your Thursday night college game, which is Wake Forest, BC tomorrow. You also got the Ravens and Cincinnati Bengals. He gave a 3-pack of picks. We call them peepees. I gave a 3-pack of picks, call them peepees for podcast picks. And we gave a Patriots Jacksonville Jaguars breakdown, and also a Canelo Alvarez Triple G breakdown, which will be happening on Saturday night. And we'll go into the window for our final question, Dan.
Final question, Joe. And this is probably something we should have explained a couple weeks ago. However, we got a question, so we should do it now. Joe, can you explain what a pick'em is?
Yeah, it's basically you essentially pick the side you want with just a $10 juice.
Right. So basically it's just picking. There's no spread. So the Patriots are -5 in the game. This is just no spread. And so that's kind of the way that
You just pick, like you ever do pick 'em pools, like, hey, pick the side against the spread, but no money's involved. Like you just do that.
Joe, we just got a question 32 seconds ago. Do you want it?
Yes.
All right. This is going to be a question that you're not going to like, or at least I don't like. However, we're going to do it. All right. What are the three best college teams that are almost locks to cover every single week?
Ohio State, Georgia right now, looks like it. And I don't know. Like, do you put Alabama in that mix? Auburn's been pretty good. Clemson hasn't covered, so no, not them. I don't know. Do you have a third?
So here's my answer. None. There are no teams that cover every single week.
Well, I mean, no teams cover every week, but... You know, I mean, you're right. No team goes 14-0-1 against the spread. You know.
But here's the thing. I hate to use the word lock. The lock thing is stupid. There's no such thing as a lock. You need to get that through your head. When you ask for the locks or something, there's no such thing as a lock. No, every experienced seasoned gambler will tell you there's no such thing. So, yes, you can ride the big mainstream teams every single week if you want to. And I think that this year you're talking about like Ohio State and Auburn. Like, I think Auburn this week looks like a good bet just based off the line. Like Ohio State, 2-0 against the spread this year. But just, you know, eventually the Vegas will start closing those spreads on because people just continuously bet them.
Yeah, and teams will go on the road and struggle in their first road game.
So my suggestion to you is don't pick a specific team to bet every single week. Yeah. Just go week to week.
I'll give you one. Wisconsin is a team that puts up a ton of points and covers.
But didn't they not cover last week?
Yeah, and they're at BYU this week, who's off a loss.
Interesting.
I think they can win by 21. It's just, you know. So, yeah, there is no team. Like, back in the day, Baylor, right? RG3,
just
Baylor.
Just open.
Johnny Manziel, Texas A&M. Like, you just load them up, you know? You could do that. Now, they're just no one's as dynamic.
Baylor and TCU were just regular overs. You just played the over. Again, it's just, you just have to be super careful with those. I would caution you to ride a team every single week. I think it's dumb.
All right, he's Dan Lifshatz. He's going to produce this whole entire thing.
Yes, I am.
Have fun. Cutting this thing down.
Coming in tomorrow morning, baby. Let's go.
We will be doing our weekly appearance this week, Friday, 7 a.m. on Toucher and Rich.
That's correct.
Which will also be podcasted on 98.5thesportshub.com.
Thank you, Troy Brown, for pushing us to Friday.
Yeah, I know. Troy, you know, these guys only won how many Super Bowls?
Yeah, Troy Brown. Troy, how many college bets did you hit last week? None.
Ooh.
Just kidding. Love you, Troy.
Wonder if he likes Marshall.
You can take our spot, Troy.
Each week, you can listen to the Over Under 98.5 podcast. Just go to the podcast page, 98.5thesportshub.com, and on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app, tap that app, and while you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. All of our podcasts are also available in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts, and our numbers are going up, Dan.
They are.
And we already gave out picks, so the more picks we give out, maybe we'll get more views.
Yep. 3 PPs, a bonus PP from Dan, 3 PPs from Joe, and some college picks we didn't even count.
Woof. Going to be a weekend.
Love it.
Going to be a great weekend. Boxing, UFC, college football, NFL football. It's only week two of the NFL season, and it's Over Under 985. He's Dan Lifshitz. I'm Joe Murray. This has been Over Under 985.
Who you got?